This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I love math. But you know what's a bit odd? Numbers that aren't divisible by two.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine from the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios. The first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott. The traditional Chinese medical practitioner gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my wife, Tacy.
Hello.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Poohhead.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm. And visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical stuff, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. So, yes, very good. I was just kidding, Tacy. You're just very delightful.
Wasn't paying attention to what you said anyway.
Okay, good. Nothing changed there. Don't forget to check out stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com, and check us out on our Patreon show. It's just Tacy and me.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh,
there you go.
it's old Tacy.
Check, please.
It's it's Tacy and me doing Patreon together, and it's on patreon.com/weirdmedicine. There's a bunch of different tiers, things that we'll send you, stuff like that. We're going to do some Q&As, maybe live streams. We don't know what we're going to do, so we're open to ideas. But we do have our first Patreon show out there. Plus, we have a Big Joe's Big Show, which was the request of one of our patrons named
Have
Claire.
You scheduled that?
What's that?
Big Joe's show.
Well, no, it's one we did a million years ago.
Oh.
So intern Jesse, you remember intern Jesse? Mm-hmm. His brother was a baseball player. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah, brother.
His brother?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It was in the big leagues.
Yeah, it was in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And he had to do a final exam, and so I gave him the distasteful assignment of cobbling together a 50-minute and 10-second show that's all your mother.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
For air on Sirius XM. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. So that's up there. Our first Riotcast show is up there and some other stuff like that. So Check that out at patreon.com/weirdmedicine. And don't forget Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. If you go to tweakedaudio.com and use offer code FLUID, you can still get 33% off the best earbuds for the price and the best customer service anywhere. I don't know if we're getting anything from that anymore, but still I support them because they're a Tennessee business. They're in Franklin, Tennessee, and they really, 33% off, and nobody's giving discount codes like that anymore. So it's pretty awesome. Well, thank you for being here, Dr. Scott and Tacy. Don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. And do you have anything on there of note?
I know
I'm getting email.
Nothing good.
Anyway. Way to sell it. I know I'm getting a lot of people still asking if you have any of your snot spray.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, and thank you when you forward those to me and we take care of them pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah.
So I really do appreciate it.
You can just, if you ever want to get in touch with us, just go to drsteve.com and click contact and ignore the warnings. That's for the riffraff. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
So I have, we've got a bunch of calls that we got to do today. I have one thing that... Sean Pedrick is one of our longtime listeners and Twitter followers, and he's on our Patreon as well. And he always has some pretty cool ideas. And he sent me this thing. It's Causes of Death in London in 1632. So they had their version of the CDC that kept track of what people died from. And they get, you know, the Londoners kept pretty good records back then. This is, you know, England is where epidemiology was created with the cholera epidemic that was coming from a single well. And that guy, John Snow, found the well where the thing, where the cholera was coming from, just by surveying people and mapping out where the cases were and figuring out, you know, getting closer and closer to the epicenter. So he laid waste to the hypothesis, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Sorry.
It's really bad.
Nerd alert.
It was terrible.
Nerd alert.
Oh, wait. Oh, I don't have the nerd one. Okay, well, I do have this
don't
one.
Don't worry.
That's because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
We do have a nerd.
All right. So causes of death in London, 1632. Now, Dr. Scott and Tacy both start, you're going to have to look some of these things up because what they, surely to God, they didn't have different diseases. They just called them different things or they didn't know what they were. For example, that year in London, a certain number of people, 267 people died of dropsy. Does anybody know what that is? This is one I know what this is.
Heart failure.
Ooh.
Give yourself a bill.
Exactly right, Dr. Scott.
One it. For one. I'm off to a
oh, are we?
I'm off to a hell of a start, Tacy.
Are we competing?
No, no. You'll beat me. No, I hate losing.
Oh, yeah.
I hate losing.
No, not at all, but that's very good. Yes, heart failure was dropsy. And what did they give people for dropsy back then?
My guess would be... some sort of alcohol.
Mm. Well, yeah, probably. They were all drinking.
Probably some whiskey or some scotch.
It was,
they were in England.
They gave them foxglove.
Oh, they did. So digitalis.
Yes. And yes, there you go.
Give yourself a bill.
Okay, cool.
So foxglove had, we found out much, much later, actually may have had some benefit for some people because it had digitalis in it, which we don't write as much as we used to, but we used to write it for heart failure and for people with weird heart rhythms and stuff. So back then it was sort of a symptom management model where the symptom was dropsy and the management was foxglove. And they just found that out empirically. You just try a bunch of stuff and you get a couple of people start feeling better. You use it. And then you sort of modify your population that you're giving it to until you end up with a kind of pharmacopoeia that actually has some efficacy to it. So, and that usually
so it starts out as alternative medicine and becomes
that's right, just like it. That's right.
Yeah, no, totally,
absolutely right. And back then, all they had there was no alternative.
Right,
there was just herbalism basically, and but that's how these things happen. Yeah. You know. You try a million things and maybe something will work on somebody. And it's just, you know, it's not that dissimilar from the way comedians work. They'll develop some jokes and some of them will work and some of them won't. The ones that never work, they get rid of. The ones that kind of work a little bit, they'll tweak them and get until they get the wording exactly right, get their word economy right, get the punchline to make sense, the whole thing to make sense. And then they'll use it in their act. And it's not that dissimilar from an herbalist trying to figure out what things work.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know? So,
totally.
Anyway. Yep. All right.
Drop.
So, that's dropsy. Okay, so 621, just aged, so they were just old, which meant they probably were, you know, 40. Okay, here's one, ague, A-G-U-E. Can we look that one up? And I Tacy, you look that one up, and Scott, you look this one up.
Okay.
Meagrom. M-E-A-G-R-O-M. 17 people dialed of meagrom. I'm wondering if that's epilepsy of some sort, because the other thing... Yeah, so, Tacy, what's ague?
Malaria or some other illness involving fever and shivering.
Okay, there you go. So they had fever and shivering, and they called it ague. Does it say why it was... What's the derivation of that word? It's okay if you don't have that.
No.
Okay, that's okay. Scott, do you have meagrom?
It looks like a severe headache, often limited to one side of the head.
That's interesting.
And so I guess
interesting.
Maybe,
so maybe they had a brain tumor or a brain bleed.
Yeah, I was thinking stroke,
epidural. Strokes usually don't hurt, but those epidural bleeds absolutely hurt.
Like an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Yep. Go ahead, buddy.
That's it. Yeah. Oh. That's all they've got is the. Defined as a headache, usually to one side.
I think we should still call it that.
Yeah, meagrom. You know, Scott, it kind of makes you wonder if that was one of the beginnings of migraines.
Of course.
One would
guess. Dr. Scott, see, now this is where your quote-unquote alternative medicine thinking is coming into play.
There you go.
Now, apoplexy is rupture of an internal organ and the accompanying symptoms. So... if they died of apoplexy and meagrom, maybe what that we were right in the first place that was a ruptured blood vessel in the brain.
Okay.
Now, Tacy, you had something.
No.
Oh, you were raising. You just raised your hand.
I changed my mind.
Okay. Jesus. Okay. Bit with a mad dog is one person. So even back then, they didn't have that much rabies. Bloody flux or scouring. Scouring, S-C-O-W-R-I-N-G. Let's look that one up.
Scouring.
Bloody flux.
Yeah, I want to know what that is.
Inflammation of the intestine accompanied by bloody diarrhea.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so they had some sort of...
actually, dysentery comes up when you...
Dysentery, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I was
going to
guess.
When you look that up.
Yeah, so dysentery basically can be described as diarrhea with blood. Blood and mucus. So, all right. Okay, burnt and scalded. I guess that's probably an industrial accident. Burst and rupture. Who the hell knows? Now, check this one out. King's evil. What in the hell was the king's evil? Now,
probably an STD the king passed on to one of his friends.
I got King's evil or struma is tuberculous swelling of the lymph glands. Once popularly supposed to be curable by the touch of royalty, I see. The custom of touching was first adopted in England by Edward the Confessor. Did we see Edward the Confessor's sarcophagus when we were in England?
I don't remember.
I think we did. Right next to Henry V's. Which was crazy because it was gem crusted, but it isn't anymore. After 500, 600 years, people just picked the gems off of the poor bastard's sarcophagus. But Yeah, struma, the king's evil, tuberculous swelling of the lymph glands. Isn't that something?
Hmm.
The king's evil.
King's evil.
I like that one. We should still call it that. Okay, here's a weird one. Eight people died of jaw fallen.
Jaw fallen. Hang on.
J-A-W-F-A-L-N. Okay, and then I got another one. We're going to have to do a bunch of these because they're all crazy. Now, there's like lethargy.
It just means fallen jaw.
Really?
Today we know this as lockjaw.
I was going to say tetanus. That's exactly what I was going to say. Damn tetanus. It. Damn it.
I wish you had. That would have been awesome if you had.
I was going to say it's got to be tetanus or
tetanus, of course.
Palsy of some sort.
Of course. Yeah. They had eight people in that 1 year. I've seen one in my whole career. And that's because of, you know, why. Oh, you're pro-vax. Yeah, I am.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Impostume. The fuck is
impostume?
I-M-P-O-S-T-U-M-E. People died of some crazy stuff. Now, here's one on here. I know what it is without looking it up. But
let's hear it. What's the name? Let's hear it.
Quincy.
Quincy?
Quincy.
Quincy.
Yeah.
Quincy.
Oh, well. Sam! Go ahead. That was my English Quincy.
Impostume is an archaic word for abscess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so someone just had a big-ass abscess, and they didn't know how to deal with it in 1632, and it freaking killed them.
Ugh, that's a terrible thing.
I bet fistulas sucked back then. Okay, look at this. 80 people died of measles.
Huh.
So if anyone who says, oh, you know, measles is a benign disease, of course, back then, we didn't have some of the technology that we have now, but it still kills 1 out of 1,000 people that gets it in 2021. That's why we don't want anybody to get it. Piles. One person died of piles. Now, that's hemorrhoids.
Ugh.
So how bad does your hemorrhoids have to be that the coroner decided you died from them?
Ooh.
Pretty bad.
Ooh. I wonder if that's the same sort of thing. Did they die from piles or did they die with piles?
With piles, yeah.
Because all the COVID negators will resonate with that question.
Could they have just bled out?
Yeah, maybe.
They could have, colon cancer or something like that.
That's true. And they would have just called
terrible,
it piles.
Terrible.
Okay, yeah. Here's a 98 people died of rising of the lights.
Okay, hang on now.
You got any guess what that might be? Scott was doing the best on this because he's sort of in tune with this alternative thinking.
Yes, rising of the lights.
Okay, Tacy's got it.
Is this a guess or did you Google
it? An illness or obstructive condition of the larynx, trachea, or lungs.
No, I wasn't.
Rising of the lights.
That's not where I was going.
No.
I was thinking somebody had
it obstructed up there. You might. But why is that rising of the lights? Does it say why they called it that?
No.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then it says possibly croup, too.
Oh, croup.
Huh.
Okay. Interesting. I wonder if rising meant something different.
Lats in this case referred to as the lungs.
I bet you're right.
Rising of the lungs. Lights. Okay, it kind of makes sense.
Okay.
Interesting. Thank you, Tacy.
Cool, Tacy.
Okay, so Quincy, I brought that one up. Anybody know what that is?
Never.
That's a peritonsillar abscess. So that's when you have someone that has an infected tonsil and the bacteria just go ape shit and they form an abscess in there, they will force the tonsil past the midline. So when you open up and look in someone's mouth, instead of seeing a nice oral cavity in there, you'll see a tonsil that's going past the midline of the tongue. And that's a medical emergency. Those have to be incised and drained emergently by an ear, nose, and throat person. And if you don't do it, those people can die. It can occlude their airway or they can die of sepsis. Now, you have to know what you're doing, though. You can't just go in there with a knife and start poking around, because I heard of a case where someone thought they had Quincy and they didn't palpate it first. They, you know, feel it. They just stuck a knife in it, a scalpel, and it turns out it was a carotid aneurysm. So it was a carotid artery aneurysm, and they just opened it up.
Yep.
And that person expired. So you have to palpate it first and make sure it's not pulsatile, that it's not moving.
Right.
And for the one in a million chance that that's what it is, you don't want to miss that. Because then you look stupid.
Oh, goodness sakes.
And then the patient dies, too. Yep. Okay, swinepox. I'm assuming that's going to be smallpox or a cowpox sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of virus.
Here's one. 34 people died of tisic, T-I-S-S-I-C-K. And then 27 of worms. Oh, no. Yuck. It sucked to live in England in 1632. Yeah, go ahead.
Tisic is pulmonary tuberculosis.
Okay.
Asthma, a dry cough.
They had a lot of different words for tuberculosis, didn't they? Because tuberculosis sucked. If you got that, there wasn't any treatment for it back then. Okay, let's see if we can find anything else on here. That's consumption, that's tuberculosis. Cancer and wolf. What the hell is cancer and wolf? And then I've got one more, and then we'll move on.
Cancer and wolf.
Yeah. There's jaundice on here. Grief. 11 people died of grief. Lethargy. Liver groan. Oh, and then lunatic.
Wait a minute. So, you know, you go back to the to people dying of what did you say? Of sadness or despair? What did you say?
Yeah. Malaise or, no, grief.
Grief. Yeah. Yeah, broken heart syndrome.
Yeah,
Which, of course, is the only reversible form of heart disease that I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to talk
treatable.
About it?
Well, the
you're talking about Takotsubo?
It's Takotsubo. It's, I guess it's the only form of heart disease I've ever seen that can be completely reversed.
It's caused by stress.
It's treated, yeah. It's treated by stress. Yeah, it's broken heart syndrome, something that needs to be not ever forgotten. People get sad and they get sick.
Yeah, Takotsubo cardiomyopathy is also known as stress cardiomyopathy. And cardio, meaning heart, myopathy, just meaning disease of the muscle, is a type of what they call non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, which means not caused by decreased blood flow to the heart. And it usually appears after a significant stress, either physical or emotional, as Dr. Scott alluded to. And when caused by the latter, it's sometimes called broken heart syndrome.
Give yourself a bill!
And it's not well understood what causes it, but it's probably a sudden massive surge of adrenaline. And there's the other one, noradrenaline or norepinephrine from extreme stress. And then it causes the heart muscle to stun. And this triggers the arteries to tighten and raises the blood pressure, and it just is a catastrophic failure. And it occurs more commonly in postmenopausal women, but they're the ones often that are burying their husbands, too, and or burying children, God forbid.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Usually husbands.
Yeah, hopefully. Or they wish that they were.
As you'll say, some of them.
Rot taste.
That's right, Steve.
Some of them wish.
Now, was there another one we were going to look up? Liver groan. I looked up groan. No, that's okay. I looked that one up. Enlarged or failing liver. Okay. Sure. Okay. So it's cirrhosis. And it was their livers were increased in size. So they said their liver had grown and they called it liver groan. Usually a result of alcoholism, but could be caused by a lot of stuff. They had hepatitis back then, too. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah. Living in the 1600s kind of fucking sucked.
Kind of sucked. It was tough.
And then lunatic. That's a good one. I like that. Instead of calling someone a lunatic, they were lunatic as a French word.
Is it what Tacey has?
Yeah, lunatic.
Lunatica. The female version. Lunatica.
I like the way it sounds.
Well, this one, seven people died of overlaid. That sounds like a pretty good way to go.
You'd like that one. I love to masturbate.
All right.
You're never, ever going to die of that.
That's true.
I love it.
All right. No more need be said about that. All right. What else? What you got there, Dr. Scott? I know you had a story.
I had one good one, which doesn't apply to neither you or I. Let me find that thing. The Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is going to be good. Men with golden penis syndrome.
Nice.
They're ruining sex and dating for women.
Okay. For all women or just some women?
Oh, for all women.
Just for some women.
Now, this is according to a news report out of New York. But I guess after the COVID and thing, and there's been some changes in the dating habits of folks. But I would assume this would be
in a place where you're the lone 10 guys at a mostly women's boarding school or something.
Exactly.
Or, women's college.
And I think that's where they got most of this. So here's the nuts and the bolts of it. Men with college degrees have become so cocky that they're ruining romance for female counterparts.
Cocky. Nice pun.
Exactly.
We get it.
So 40% of college students are male. According to this National Student Clearinghouse. Now, this is what I'm reading, which means for every three women, there's two men. So that makes all of us with...
This is across the country? It's 60-40?
No, that's what it's saying, yeah. That's what it's saying. So your oldest son has a...
We're taking over.
He's looking good.
Good.
I think it's about time. But my son has got a girlfriend, and he's never going to look... He'll never look at anybody else.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm just telling you.
I think we've all said that once or twice.
I've never said that.
Or three times.
I don't say it now.
And how many times have we all been married in here? I think we're getting close to double digits.
Hey, I'm just one. Well, I'm at one.
You're smarter than the rest of us. If it weren't for that for those things, we might both be retired at this point.
but anyway. There's some truth in what.
But anyway, the golden penis syndrome. So I guess these college grads with all of their college degrees, they feel like they are superior, and that no matter what they do, their smugness and their superiority, no matter what they do to the females. They don't care because they think there will be more women out there waiting for them.
Man.
So there you go.
You are one pathetic loser.
Yep, there you go. So golden penis syndrome.
That's it. So how are they ruining it for anybody?
Well, because I think they're making the... I'm looking to the bottom of the story for how they're ruining it. They're... They treat their dates badly.
Yeah, they ghost them. I read the article.
Ghost them.
I was trying to help you out.
I don't need any fucking help with this.
Okay, do you not?
Come on, man. I don't need help with this. This is golden penis syndrome. This is your syndrome.
Oh, you're aware of it.
I'm more of a platinum penis, not a golden.
Shit. Yeah, they're ghosting people. They're moving on. And let me tell you guys, those of you who have this, it doesn't last forever.
No.
When I got the MD after my name, it helped out because I had no game. I wasn't horrendous looking, but I literally had no game, and I was a serial monogamist.
And a genius as far as when it comes to
The kind of genius that I am, no women, that doesn't attract them. They're attracted to smart men, but not the kind of smart I am.
If we got divorced, he'd be married within a year. Guaranteed.
I don't think that's true.
A year?
I don't think that's true.
Six months?
No,
six
I don't months. Think that's true.
Six mm-hmm. months.
No, I'd spend the rest of my life just boning anybody that would let me bone him.
Mm-hmm. He'd be out doing magic tricks on the corner.
Oh, yeah, just, you know he would.
He'd be slaying. He'd be slaying him with his golden penis.
I did do magic. Well, that's Dr. why Steve's I did magic. Penis. Because I didn't have any game, and that was something I could just... I had the nerve. I had some really, really good, close-up effects. And I had the nerve to walk up to a table and say, can I amaze you guys for a minute? And they go, oh, yeah, sure, I'm sure you can. And then I would. I would blow them away. And then that would give me enough out of an opening where I could talk to somebody. But otherwise, yeah, I had no game whatsoever. But you put that MD after your name, you get a little bit of free game. But the guys with golden, phalluses, this does not last forever. And you're always thinking, if I dump this one, there's another one coming. And you're going to get to a point where there isn't another one coming. Because I know some women with golden, vajayjays that have run into that situation. Where all of a sudden, whoops, where did all the guys go? So it can happen, and don't be cocky and don't be a fucking asshole. How about that?
Exactly. Be nice.
Yeah, just be nice.
Yeah, because women really like nice guys, right, Tace?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So some do.
You know, after a while and you put up with so much, it is nice to be treated nice.
Yeah. Once you've run through the shitheads.
Everybody goes through that bad guy thing, but, I mean, there's only so much you can take.
I know these women that say, I just want a nice guy, I just want a nice guy, and then they still pick the turds every time. Mm-hmm. So they're still attracted to that. I don't know.
They haven't had enough yet.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, what else you got? Scott, that was a good one. Golden penis syndrome.
Golden penis,
put that in the old armamentarium.
No, that's about all I've got.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What? You're kidding.
No, I've got another
one. I sent you four articles.
I've got another good one. This is actually from Dr. Steve. A teen unknowingly swallowed a sewing pin that pierced his heart.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so a 17-year-old kid was actually doing some tailoring of his clothes and does like the rest of us do. And I'm guilty of it, too. If I'm, like, doing woodworking, I'll put screws and nails and stuff in my
stupid mouth. It's because we only have two hands.
Yeah,
we need a third or fourth hand.
To hold things, that's right.
Did he live?
Yeah, so the young man, so he said he wasn't even aware of it while he was sewing.
Oh, God.
He had some needles in his mouth. He just was sewing away, never even knew that he swallowed it. 3 days later, he'd been having chest pain for 3 days. And they went in, and he was having an abnormal EKG, and they were like, this is crazy for a 17-year-old. So they figured some kind of viral, myocarditis or something. And CT'd his heart, and they saw in his heart, and you can see on the image here, a shiny metal object. And
wow. Like,
what in the heck is that?
What can people Google to see that?
I would say probably just this article, teen who swallowed a sewing pin.
Yeah.
And you can actually see it's a pretty nice CT image of the heart. But it was in the I think this is in his right ventricle.
Wow.
And they actually had to go in and surgically remove it. But he's done well. They were just trying to figure out how it got into his heart. So right ventricle, lower right. So either it moved through his esophagus as he was swallowing it, or maybe it came out of his upper part of his stomach. But then it'd have to go through the...
Was it actually inside the cavity of the heart?
Literally. Yeah, literally inside the cavity of the heart.
Well, yeah. They're sharp. I mean...
Oh, heck yeah. Well, and they're super thin. But, you know, for that needle to have worked through the stomach up through the diaphragm, there's almost no way.
It had to go through
or
the
colon,
esophagus.
There's almost no way. They were hypothesizing, but almost
how would
be.
It go from the colon to the heart?
Well, that's just what they're selling here. There's just
there's no way it got into the bloodstream and did it that way. It had to be physically through the
straight
tissues.
It had to be, yeah. Because if it had gone through his colon, he would have probably been septic anyway. He'd have gotten. One would think he would have gotten sick.
Wow.
So, yeah, but the good news is the kid's doing great. No complications.
They removed it?
Yeah. Had to surgically remove it. And
holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's crazy. That is crazy. He's lucky.
Yeah, thank goodness he's doing well.
I got a good one for you. When a woman in Pennsylvania needed a life-saving liver transplant, she repeatedly ran up against one vexing problem. She kept testing positive for alcohol, which disqualified her from a transplant. So that's true. If you're going to get a liver transplant... because you have cirrhosis of the liver, they will drug test you and test you for alcohol. And they don't want to replace a liver on someone who's just going to ruin the next one.
Right.
So they'll test you. Well, she's like swearing that she wasn't drinking, and they're saying, well, yeah, but your urine drug test is constantly showing up positive. Anybody got any ideas on this one?
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I think I may have read this one before.
That's okay. Well, yes, that's how you would know about it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't assume that you would just make it up and be correct.
A long time ago. No, the diabetes.
Okay. Yeah. And? How does that give? That gives you sugar in your urine.
Sugar and yeast.
Ah, very good.
Give yourself
kind of
a
yeast,
meal.
Yeast infection.
She had auto brewery syndrome. What it is microbes in the gastrointestinal tract. Oh, this lady had something different. Okay, it was similar. Convert carbohydrates into alcohol. And these people can get drunk from eating carbs, but this was most of the time I've seen it, it's in the bladder where they've got a yeast infection or a bladder infection, and the bacteria in the bladder will ferment alcohol. Go ahead, Tace.
So when my liver enzymes are out of whack, I can say it must be auto brewery.
Yes,
syndrome?
Has to be. Yeah,
has to be ABS.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good.
It can't be.
Got it.
Consumption.
Excuse noted.
Excuse me, doctor.
I like that. Yeah. So you can continue to drink at your normal level, and when your liver goes bad, that's as your excuse.
It's ABS. Okay. We'll vouch for you.
Yep. Yeah. I'll say.
We can say you always smelled kind of sweetie.
So there is a thing called this is bad medical journalism. I knew this wasn't right. It's not in the GI tract. It's in the GU tract and the genitourinary tract. And they said it was so rare it didn't even have a name yet. Yes, it does. It's bladder fermentation syndrome or auto brewery syndrome. But anyway, so there you go. And that's crazy. And I have seen this. Because in our business, we do a lot of drug tests, and it's like, honey, you can't be drinking and taking these medications at the same time. It's like, well, honey, I ain't never touched a drop in my life. And it's, you delve into it further, and they've got sugar in their urine, and they've got some bacteria or whatever. And, those things are just in there doing what they do, and they chug away and make alcohol. And is a product of fermentation. So there you go. All right. You ready to do some phone calls, or
do you have one?
Let's
you have something?
Do it.
Okay.
Nope.
You got one? Okay.
I got
number
nothing.
One thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, very good. Oops. Hello. Uh oh.
Hello, Dr. Steve.
Hello, man.
My name is E.
Okay.
I'm slightly overweight, as I have gained weight during the COVID-19 pandemic. I was wondering if you had any advice, if there was any type of program that I could use to help me shed some pounds. Also, part two to my question, if you do have a program that might help me, is there also a promo code that I could use to save some money?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you in advance for...
What? Wait.
Your help. Love the show.
I wonder if he was reading that.
No.
That didn't sound like it at all.
Not even. That's our buddy Cardiff Electric, and he's being a very good friend and trying to get me to give out the promo code for Noom at noom.drsteve.com. But it is there is a serious question here that a lot of people have gained a lot of weight. I'm one of them. I did too.
Me.
Yeah, so all of us have gained a significant amount of weight. I actually hit the highest I've been since I started Noom. And it wasn't a failure of Noom. It was a failure of my part. After I got COVID-19, I think part of my brain was like, well, screw it. Hell, you almost died, although that's probably not true. But I felt like, hell, I wanted to die at one point. I felt so bad. And when it was over, I just started eating. Yeah. And I didn't, without regard to anything.
Yeah.
And when I hit, I never got back to where I was before I started Noom, but I was way on my way to getting there, and I had to put the brakes on. So I think part of it is psychological. Absolutely. Some of it is just sloth. Tacy used to work out four times a week.
Started traveling, and it's all gone.
Well, the traveling and then the COVID, too. You know, they shut your gym down for a while, and you start getting out of the habit of it. Of course, we have this beautiful...
it's gorgeous.
Nordic track bike where, you know, they take you on trails and, mm-hmm. and you go up and down hill and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
or classes or basically anything you want.
I love this thing. And I like to do the Tabata runs because they're brief. They're like 20 minutes.
It's fun to look at.
And it's fun to look at. They take you in. You're riding trails in Turkey.
No, I mean
and
the
stuff.
Bike.
Oh, the bike.
It's fun to look at.
Right.
And I hang my suitcase stuff
because
on
we're
it.
Using it for a hanger right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, which everybody out. Says is a joke, but I guess it's real.
So we need to do better on that. But I just kind of quit giving a shit for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm just now starting to care again, although... the training that I did get, this isn't a plug at this point, from Noom really did help me because it deals with psychological issues that have to do with eating. And I think that helped me a lot. But I want to get back to my ideal body weight because I was there. And anyway. So what do you guys have for ideas that people can do other than me plugging Noom, thanks to Cardiff Electric? Check out his podcast. It's so inside the room that most people won't get it. But my friend Murray Reams, who was a scholar, said, and I don't know if he was quoting somebody, but he said, the more biting the satire, the narrower the audience. And his satire is very biting indeed, because the audience is very, very narrow for what he does. But I think he's a genius. Mm. But anyway. What have you got?
I've got nothing. I'm in a bad spot right now with all the travel, and the hotel gyms are disgusting. And
yeah.
We're in a pandemic, and I do feel better when I work out. There's no excuse. I could do it in the room.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Should we do something like P90? I've always recommended to the truckers. You know, they say, well, I can't carry weights and I can't work out. And it's like, no, you can. You can do P90. You've got a DVD.
Mm-hmm. Used to do P90.
And the P90, you use the resistance bands, and it's 20 minutes. You do 20 minutes a day. That's at least you're getting some exercise.
Yeah.
And I say get off your ass and get some exercise. You know, physician, heal thyself.
I say
the end of every show, I haven't been doing it.
I think with our bike comes all kinds of... things on the internet that we could watch and do.
Yep.
I just don't do it.
You know, I apologize. What I was going to say is I think what we've all gotten into is just a different routine.
Yeah.
And it's much more sedentary.
Shittier mm-hmm. routine.
Yeah, because of COVID. And until each individual, and I am that individual, I actually started this past Sunday getting off my ass and doing something, exercise. You know, I take my dog, we walk up the mountain near my house, and It's a beautiful wall, but it's just a getting up and doing it. You know, yeah. I think I'm like you for over a year was kind of just sitting on my ass and going, well.
And then now you're a pescatarian, mostly vegetarian.
Yeah.
Why would you be gaining weight?
I think kind of like a lot of other people. I think I increased my alcohol consumption, increased sugars and decreased movement.
Yeah.
So just kind of, I did exactly what I say not to do.
I don't want to give anybody any really specific advice because it's different for everybody. If there was one way to lose weight, we would have figured
it out a long time ago.
200 years ago, and we'd just be doing it. We'd all be normal weight. Mm-hmm. But I think Scott nailed it, is just being cognizant of what you're eating, eat better things, and be more active, and at least start there. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to jolt your system using low carb, I'm cool with that as long as you do it right. Low carb is not the bacon, mayonnaise, and steak diet.
Mm.
It does sound pretty good, though. But that's sort of the my uncle told me something that one of his friends told him something diet. A true low carb diet is lots of green leafy vegetables and lean animal protein. Yeah. Optavia is another one that you can just do and get things going. You know, you do it for a month or two or something, a program like Noom if you need somebody to sort of tell you what to do. But just getting started by just saying, hey, we're going to change our ways. So I'm gonna do that right now. I'm going to make a commitment to get on that stupid bike and I'm going to start eating better. And we'll report back next week and see if I've had any, that's my accountability as our audience.
I'm going to do it.
Because obviously I can't be accountable to myself.
Yeah. And I'm doing the same thing. So you're going to take the clothes off of your exercise machine and clean the dust off.
Well, and I'll be out of town, so.
Hey, and plug it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Update your subscription.
Yeah, right.
All of those.
Well, I actually paid for a subscription almost a year ago, and we haven't used it one time since I paid for that subscription. It's not cheap, so yeah. I'm going to try to get some use out of it. And what were you going to say, Tacy? You're going to be out of town, so I can do anything I want?
So the clothes,
party.
Yeah, the clothes on it will be off.
Cool.
So he can do.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Yep.
Plug it in, dust it off, let it rip.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to do something, too. I'll do better.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Electric, for your call. It stimulated an excellent conversation.
Yep. Hey, Dr. Steve. Cool. I've got two questions. The first one is, I miss GVAC. Has the medical community figured out how to cure death yet?
No. we barely can define death. That's the thing. You know, we used to define death as stopping breathing. Then we invented ventilators. Then it was heart stopping. Then we invented CPR and advanced cardiac life support. And now we're defining it as cessation of brain activity. But if we can upload our brains into a computer, then is that really death or is it not? We're going to have to define it a different way. So, yeah, no. I mean, I know you're asking. We miss him, too, and his picture's right here. And I was thinking about him the other day. If you go to our Patreon, I posted a video that we did with GVAC where we took a skin tag off of his eye. And, he was just such a good sport about stuff like that. He's the one that got Dr. Scott into music.
Yep.
And for that one thing, so everything else was good about GVAC, but,
he ruined
Secondly, I recently found a bunch of ulcers on my tongue.
Okay.
I saw a couple of doctors, and they all told me it looked like I was biting my tongue. I had these, Dr. Steve, it looked like I had herpes on the side of my tongue. I was so nervous. I went and talked to a couple of doctors, and they told me it looked like I was biting my tongue, and it turns out that I'm having seizures.
What?
All right, thanks, bye.
Oh, what?
Wow.
We just lost him?
No, he just hung up. So, that's wild. Weird that you'd be biting your tongue. Well, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, people do bite their tongue when they're having seizures. Usually they know they're having seizures. I was thinking of something like trench mouth. Trench mouth is also called Vincent's angina. It's where you get ulceration, swelling, and sloughing off of dead tissue from the mouth and throat. But sometimes it can just be on the tongue. And you know, they'll call that acute necrotizing ulcerative gingivitis. But, wow. And you can get herpes on your tongue, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, I went to a new dentist today, and they ran me through the mill. I just had dental implants placed, so I've just got these little places where they're going to eventually put the teeth. And, yeah, I'm in for about $20,000 on this shit of everything that they want to do. They got to straighten my teeth, and then I've got...
it's your age?
Yeah, I know. Well, because
why not just pull them?
Because that's what I said. Just pull them and put implants in, that would cost even more.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they got to patch all of my gingiva. Apparently, they've been receding, and because I clench my teeth, the teeth flex, and so now the gums have pulled away, and it's exposing the roots. And so, yeah, I got to get grafts. And, yeah, it's really something. But one of the things that they did was they had me swish this stuff in my mouth. And then they used what I guess was an ultraviolet light or something, if there's a dentist or an oral surgeon out there that knows. And then they do an oral cancer screening.
I opted for that when I was filling out the paperwork.
Yeah. I wonder how much they charge me for
$67.
That. $67. Oh, that's not so bad. But, yeah, they look around and, yeah, really didn't find anything, which is good. Because... you know, I've been exposed to HPV, and you worry about it.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm just upset about the $20,000.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about it either. It'll be over a year and a half amount of time, but that's about how much it's going to cost to do everything. Because the grafting that they have to do to cover up the roots of my... Because I looked at the picture, and it's like, I look at my mouth every day, and I said, you all are putting a filter on this to make my mouth look 10 worse, times worse so that I'll agree to this. And they said, oh, no, that's really what it looks like. But they're all pulled away, and you can see where the enamel stops, but there weren't any cavities there. You'll get cavities there, and then they have to just yank the tooth. Because I had so much fluoride when I was a kid, but you could see it. And so when they patch it, they do four quadrants, and each quadrant is $2,000. Mm. So we're talking $8,000 just for the patching. So I'm not happy about that. I just figured, you know, I paid $2,000 to have two implants put in, and I figured, well, that's going to be the biggest part of it. But that's a tenth of what I'm going to end up paying for everything.
So. Yuck.
Please send cash.
Yeah, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. Thank you.
There you go. I got you.
All right. So, yeah, so this guy may be having seizures and just biting his tongue. That was the one thing. She said, oh, you bit the inside of your mouth, right? And I said, yeah, all the time. She said, and it was like magic. It was like when Dr. Scott felt my pulse and he could tell I was constipated. Mm-hmm. It was cool that she could look in there and say, oh, you bit your tongue or bit the inside of your mouth like about 2 weeks ago. It was absolutely true. But I guess she could see it.
Oh my God, Steve, what if I go and she says, I need all that too? Because our dentist wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm just not going to do it.
Okay.
You'll just have to wait.
I'll be the only one with decent
good
mouth.
Teeth.
Yeah. I'll have these beautiful, straight, white pearlies.
Choppers.
I just use dentures. What's wrong with that?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. Yank them. I mean, you spend all this money to keep them, and I'm
old. Hell, it's got to feel better to pull them than do the grafts.
You would think so.
And bone grafts and screws.
I've had the grafts in a couple of places.
If any dentists
want to
call in and talk about this.
Man, that's got to hurt.
I'm cool with it.
Got to hurt.
Anyway. All right, here we go.
But they take the skin from the roof of your mouth and then...
Oh, shut the fuck
up.
Yeah,
it's
terrible.
Yeah,
they do. And then they...
Well, I guess I'll lose weight then.
It's got to adhere to it, and then they put this stuff... Oh, is she going to do it, or is she sending you somewhere?
No, she's sending me to a periodontist.
Oh, yeah. No, I did that.
You did?
Just in... I've done it twice in two little places.
Okay, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times that can be cured by not... People brushing their teeth too vigorously.
Yeah, right. That's what
I
do.
They'll tell me to quit using my Quip toothbrush. Mm-hmm. And but she said that really wasn't why.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't it. But yeah, I'm going to have to start going to a soft toothbrush.
It's all at skull and chewing back.
I figure you can't get anything clean with a soft toothbrush, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're always saying that, and it's like, that's not going to work.
Mm.
I got to scrub.
Floss, baby.
Yeah, I do floss. All right. Let's do this one.
I'm not flossing for nobody.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'd like you to talk more about the out-of-body experiences that you mentioned having in a previous podcast. You said it had something to do with a yoga presentation on the Oprah show.
It wasn't on the Oprah show, but I think I did say it was on the Oprah network. Tacy and I were doing yoga with Steve Ross. Remember last week, I couldn't remember his name. It's Steve Ross, and you can go on YouTube and find him. And he played kind of funky music, and he was young guy, yoga master dude. And he had a class of basically, you know, young folk. And he would teach you how to do yoga. And so we would sit in our living room with the VCR. It was a VHS tape of a bunch of his classes, and we would do yoga. And one at the end of it, they do this big relax. So people think yoga, and Scott will attest to this. You should talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
It looks like, oh, they're just stretching and doing all this stuff. Hell no. By the end of it, I was sweating. My heart was pounding. Mm-hmm. You know, you felt like you'd really had a workout, which is crazy. Is you're holding positions sometimes that your body doesn't really want to hold.
Right. And stabilizing muscles that are typically not used to stabilize things for so long. The smaller muscles in your shoulders and,
it really,
and ribs.
You get a lot of lactic acid.
A lot of it.
Burn, and you contract these muscles, then you release them, and a lot of the lactic acid gets into your system. And so you really feel that burn, and you feel pretty tired. Well, at the end of it, they do – the reward is this thing called the big relax. And we would lay there. And
it's called Shavasana, which
Shavasana.
Is the pose. That's
excellent.
The pose, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Mm. And he would have you do this visual imagery. And the one that we were doing that day was you were supposed to imagine a tower – made out of bricks, like a circle of bricks, and it was constantly falling in on itself. So it would, you know, the bricks would start falling into the center, but it was infinite, so it would just constantly be falling in on itself. And I was doing that, and I started to float out of my damn body, and I flipped over, and I looked down, and I could see the two of us sitting there doing yoga or in this pose. Now, I know I've seen the studies where they've done this in operating rooms where people have out-of-body experiences, and they put a sign that only someone floating from the ceiling could see, and they never can come back and say, hey, I saw a sign, and it said, you know, it had this code word on it. So I know it's BS, but that's how I felt. Yep. And so it was awesome. We've got about 30 seconds.
That
go ahead,
show was called Inhale, and it was on the Oxygen Channel.
Okay, so was Oxygen part of Oprah? No.
No.
That was something different.
It was way before Oprah.
I don't even know if it's still around.
It's not?
I
don't think so.
I don't think it is. No. But
like you would know, though, really, Scott.
Oh, I know.
But Steve, he would know. But Steve
because
Ross
he
is
would,
still on.
He watches the Oxygen Channel.
Well, he knows about yoga. Steve Ross is still viewable on YouTube. Yes. So I highly recommend him. And Rodney Yee is another one. All right, let's do another phone call before we get out of here.
Hello, folks. Got a question that is discussed all the time but has never been explained. What is a steroid? And how does a steroid differ from regular medicine or regular pills? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, okay, there's no sort of molecule that says this one is medicine and this one is something else. Mm-hmm. It's just how we use it. So corticosteroids are anti-inflammatory drugs. They're you know, you have non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. That'd be ibuprofen,
NSAIDs,
naproxen,
right.
That stuff. These are steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. We use them to treat inflammation, like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, things like that. But also in COVID-19, dexamethasone is a corticosteroid that was found to be effective in preventing death in people who are, who are critically ill. They resemble cortisol, which is a hormone that your adrenal glands make. And they're corticosteroids, we usually call them steroids, but then there are androgenic steroids. Androgenic steroids are things like testosterone, which are also steroids. So people get confused. You say, well, I'm going to give you a steroid dose pack. And they go, oh, well, I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's like, no, different kind of steroid. So these steroids can be given intravenously. They can be given as a shot. Sometimes we'll use them. We will instill them in joints that are inflamed. I used to do a lot of knee injections in people with knee arthritis. They'd get a big, giant effusion where there's fluid on their knee and it's red, and we would rule out that it was infected. You draw the fluid off and then replace it with a solution of corticosteroid, long-acting and short-acting, and some anesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little numbing.
A little numbing medicine. Yep, they walk out of there pain-free for a little while thinking you're a genius. And then the steroids help to calm down all that inflammation that caused it in the first place. So because they are hormones, you could say, well, there's something different than a pill like an ACE inhibitor, which blocks a certain receptor in the body.
Right.
But really, they're all medicine. We're using them all the same.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What are you looking at? What are you sharing over this?
I was sharing something with the long view. We were picking up Tacy on her phone. And somebody said they're reading her Facebook. And I said, shit, I just figured she was shopping.
They are 100% correct.
I figured she was shopping.
Did you take the camera down? Is that what you did? Wyatt, where'd the camera go?
Uh-oh.
No.
Hopefully we're not on the long shot.
No, we're not on the long shot.
So some people were able to read your...
No, what? They couldn't read it.
They could just see what she was doing, that she's obviously not paying attention.
I was making fun.
You know, I've got a really short attention span.
No.
And,
Since when?
And it's at the end of the day, and nobody's paying me to do this.
No.
And so...
Paying you to do this.
Love and affection.
I paid attention from 8 till 5. I drove 4 hours today.
Yep.
And I am...
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm fine.
Never mind. You're not.
I was just looking at a couple of things on Facebook.
Okay. Did you find something apropos to the show?
No.
Okay. So thanks always go to Dr. Scott. Thanks, Tacy, for being here. Check us out on the Patreon. She does pay more attention when it's just the two of us.
You know, I try to anyway.
Yeah. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, That Gould Girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Horror, Tacy, the Saratoga Skank, the Florida Floozy, also a listener, Roland Campo, Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, see, Tacy gets all these references, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Walken's Double, Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, the inimitable Vincent Paulino, Eric Zaitunian, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's Daughter, Ron and Bennington, and of course our dear departed friend, Fez Watley, who we will never forget, and all of those who supported this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at, I don't know what time, 6, 7, something like that, Sunday at 5 or 6. I got to find out. But listen to it on demand. On demand is the right way to listen to it. And other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to you, our listeners, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tess.
Goodbye.
See you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.